2-0 the count, the pitch. Line back up the middle. That's a base hit. Here comes Escobar. The throw to the plate is not in time. Jose Bautista has tied it at 5.
Jose Bautista back after a 3-game absence and delivers the tying run with 2 out in the bottom of the 7th. His only hit on a 1-for-6 night. That's the play of the game, brought to you by Speed Boost from Rogers. Hello, Speed Boost. Goodbye waiting another first only from Rogers. And that's play of the game because we couldn't give you 2 Rajay Davis stolen bases and a John McDonald sacrifice fly. That's what won it in the bottom of the 14th. The Blue Jays, Brett Cecil and 6 relievers combined to provide 12 shutout innings after the 2nd. And that gives the team enough time to come back and beat the Mariners. And Travis Snyder started tonight in center field. And Travis Snyder, I really think, could be a great weapon for the Blue Jays as a center fielder. But when you see Rajay Davis and the things he can do when he gets on base, this is a guy who has an on-base percentage just over .260. But who has 27 stolen bases in 36 tries, and he can completely change a game. How can you not keep using that weapon? We're Jays Talking It Up to the top of the hour at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let me correct myself. He has 28 stolen bases, and he's been caught 9 times. He stole 3 bags tonight. Dave is in Barrie. You're going to lead things off on the Jays Talk. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you, man?
Good, go ahead.
Okay, first I got to give you a little bit of a standing ovation. I just left work, and you pretty much called the 2 stolen bases and then Johnny Mock walk-off.
So I actually did say that. Was that on the live blog or on the Twitter?
Yeah, the live blog. I saw you on that.
Yeah, they have to do is get Davis on base, and he'll steal second and third, and Mack will walk it off. But
yeah,
I did
exactly.
Say that it would be a squeeze, not a sack fly.
Well, there you go. Hey, you know what? A win's a win, right?
That's right.
Now, I'm just wondering, Mike, what are your thoughts? Because there's so many fans that call in and ask for ridiculous trades and things that just won't work under Anthopoulos' rule. What is it going to take for these Jays to become a 95-win team in the next 2 to 3 seasons? I'm not saying that we're going to be that, you know, potential big threat next year. I hope we will. You know, I hope we win 20 games in a row. But, you know, what is realistic? What do we need? Do we need another number 2? Do we need an ace? Do we need another big bat? What is it that we need, Mike?
Well, what they need, here's what they need. They need Ricky Romero to continue to develop the way he has. They need Brandon Morrow to become a consistent guy at the top of the rotation and not take 10 starts a year to get going. But again, this is only his 2nd year. And this is why we're talking about time. You know, you need Kyle Drabek to become one of those top of the rotation type of guys. You need to find the back of the bullpen, whether you have it here or whether it's going to come via free agency or trade. You need Travis Snyder to continue to develop into the hitter that everybody believes he can be. You need Brett Laurie to take a year and then hit the ground running. You need J.P. Arencibia to be the offensive force that he's capable of being. And then you're there. And that's, you know, and then you add the tiny little tweaks that you need to tweak, and you'll be fine.
Now, Mike, if you're Anthopoulos, do you groom McGowan and hope he doesn't get injured into a closer?
No. If I'm Alex Anthopoulos, I want to control as much of Dustin McGowan as I can health-wise, so I don't want him getting up and then sitting down and then getting up and then working on back-to-back days and then maybe not working for 4 days. I want Dustin McGowan out there every 5th day, and I want him in the rotation if his shoulder can handle it. If he can't, then yeah, I'll try him as a closer. But first step is to have him as a starter, because he could be just as good as Morrow, Romero, any of them, if he's healthy and in the rotation. Dave, I got to let you go because we don't have a lot of time and we got a lot of guys to get to. So appreciate the call. Buffalo, Andrew, you're up on the Jays Talk.
Thanks. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Actually, it's a closer call, and I know you're a big Casey Jansen fan.
Yep.
John Farrell said today he's like a pseudo left-hander coming in. Is he a guy that potentially should be looked at as a closer?
He's not a guy who profiles as a closer. He doesn't have the big fastball or the huge other pitch. He doesn't have the Trevor Hoffman changeup or the Mariano Rivera cutter. And if you don't throw 95 to 97, then that's what you look for in a closer. But for me, Casey Jansen gets people out. And Casey Jansen has been the best reliever on this team this year. Now, I'll grant you, just came back from the DL, and you need to work him back in, although he was in a pretty high-leverage situation tonight, and he was the choice ahead of Frank Francisco in that 14th inning. And maybe it was because he was only capable of throwing one inning, so you want to get to him first. But the fact of the matter is, Casey got a save opportunity just before he went on the DL and got the job done. I would have no problem with having Casey Jansen as the closer on this team until he shows that he can't do the job. And you know what? I think he would be very good at it. I think he would be better than what we've seen prior this season. Josh in Halifax. Hey, Josh.
Hey, just a couple questions for you, Mike.
Yep.
First, just want to ask what you think about maybe going for K-Rod in the offseason to shore up our...
I don't think it's a great idea to throw a big whack of money at a closer.
You think you'll go for a lot of money?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think if you look historically at closers, not even historically, look now. How many closers came to their team as a closer in free agency? Is there more than one? I don't know if there are any,
that's true.
Be honest with you. So, no, I think closers are found.
Okay. And also, I just want to ask you about some of John Farrell's decisions today. I know we came away with the win, but... Just a couple of substitutions he made, like putting McDonald in for Escobar. What do you think?
McDonald wasn't put in for Escobar. Davis was put in for Escobar to pinch run in the ninth inning in the tie game, and he stole second and wound up getting to third and stopping there. So McDonald had to come in to play shortstop.
Okay. Also, how come Farrell would have left Patterson in but taken out Thames, and then how come he would have put McCoy in and left out Encarnacion?
McCoy ran for Encarnacion in the 13th inning and stole second base, so he had to go in and play third. And it wasn't Patterson for Thames. Well, I guess it was. And I think the reason is you want the defense in the tie game late, and Thames, his spot wasn't going to come around for a couple of innings. So that's why that move was made there. They're all fine moves. I mean, I know and appreciate the call. I know the arguments were made online that maybe you should have pinch run for Patterson instead of pinch running for Escobar. But Escobar did have a knee issue earlier in the game, and that might have affected it. And also, Patterson's your second fastest runner, so he's not a guy you pinch run for. You get a tiny, tiny marginal upgrade in speed from Patterson to Davis. So that's not a pinch hit move that you make. John in Toronto, Raptor Eyes.
Yo, Mike, Miguel, how you doing, my man?
Good, where you been?
Times change a lot, man, but I'm back on the saddle.
All right, you got a minute, go.
Okay, where did Bullpen come from? Is it Seattle or the Jays? Bullpen is really that good?
Seattle's that bad, man. Yeah.
Okay.
Seattle scored 16 runs in their last 10 games, including tonight.
Yeah, I heard you, but I was listening to the game, and I said, damn, they have something. I'm saying, what happened to this no hit team?
That's right.
Suddenly they see our pitching, and they light it up. Also, too bad Flash can't get on base more than he does, because he thinks he could be the second coming of Ricky Henderson.
I wonder if he's not a better base stealer. Ricky Henderson got thrown out a lot, and Rajay Davis doesn't. And like Jerry and Alan were saying in the post game, Rajay can stand there at first base, and everybody in the ballpark knows he's going, and they still can't do anything about it.
Geez, man, something else. He might be better than Ricky.
Just as a base stealer, in the overall, no. Ricky Henderson's the greatest, leadoff hitter of all time, on base over 400, all that stuff. But if Rajay Davis had an on base over 400, he might be able to steal 150 bases.
Hmm. That's how he develops, put the bat on the ball a little more than he does kicks or walks. Is his problem not taking walks?
Well, his problem is also that he's hitting 230, but he's not taking walks either, yes.
Okay.
All right, thanks, John. We are going to, what are we going to do? We are going to hear from John Farrell shortly, but let's get a couple of calls in before we do that. Eric is in North Battleford, Saskatchewan. Welcome aboard.
Hi, thanks, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Great game tonight.
It was.
And I just wanted to actually talk about the Hall of Fame briefly, if
sure.
you don't mind.
No, please do. And we haven't mentioned yet that the Blue Jays are going to retire Roberto Alomar's number, and they announced that today.
Yeah, and I'm going to be at that game, too.
Excellent.
On the 31st. But even more exciting, my family and I are going to the Hall of Fame for Roberto Alomar's induction.
That should be awesome. I've never been to an induction ceremony at the Hall of Fame, but I've been to Cooperstown. I've been to the museum. It's a great place.
Well,
you're going to have a good time.
Right on. One of the things I was going to ask, actually, is what I should watch for. I've never been, and I'm just wondering what are some things I should keep my eye open for.
I don't know, as
yeah,
I've never been. Just enjoy it. Soak it in. That whole little town is 100% baseball, and it is awesome.
Yeah, I'm totally looking forward to it.
Good.
Okay, well, thanks for the great work.
All right, thanks, Eric. You will have a blast. I am telling you this. You will have a blast at the induction ceremonies. And, yeah, not even mentioned. And I guess we're not going to have time to really get into depth, but Roberto Alomar's number is going to be retired. The only Blue Jay number ever to be retired. No Jay will be allowed to wear number 12. Ever again in the history of anything. John Farrell spoke to the media as he is wont to do after every game, before every game. It's kind of a requirement of the position. And we love to tell you what we love to allow John Farrell to tell you what John Farrell had to say. So let's listen in on the Blue Jays skipper in the wake of tonight's 6-5 14-inning win over Seattle.
Just an outstanding comeback against a very good pitcher in Pineda, who, you know, after Lind hits the home run in the first inning, you know, you could obviously tell that he started to step on it. And a lot of fastballs in the mid-upper 90s. In that three-run inning, you know, we strung together a number of hits, including the big double by Yanell inside the bag, who, you know, just a very good night from him at the plate. He tweaked his knee on that one swing. It didn't cause him to come out of the game. That resolved itself, you know, as the game went on. Some of the switches that we made to try to get some speed on the base paths late ended up being the combination that ended up winning it for us. And Rajay, once again, the base hit after, you know, he runs the count full. I think he had four stolen bases coming off the bench tonight. Just a disruptive force, as we've said many times over. But you can't look past what the bullpen did tonight. Just an outstanding job. To see Casey join us again, he ends up on the mound at a pivotal time. The two-plus innings of work by Zepp was outstanding. And we executed well defensively late. They get the botched sack bunt that JP throws behind. We have executed a very good rundown. Camper found his way out of the beginning of a nasty inning there, and we held on and manufactured, the one run late. But just a solid contribution, really, from everybody on the bench tonight.
John, were you ready to come off the top step if Tom had called Rajay out at second on that one?
No, he got his hand back in there, and it was clear that he made the right call. I thought earlier in the game that, Corey's stolen base seemed to me, even from the dugout vantage point, from the viewpoint, that the tag was a little bit high, that he was in safely, but obviously the call didn't go our way. Still, we didn't back down. We came off a tough series against New York and responded to the call here tonight.
John, what did you see from Brett in the first two innings, and what did you say to him after that second?
You know, he was up in the zone. And for him to be effective up here, he's got to pitch in the bottom of the strike zone. He's so much better. He's so much more efficient. He creates that downhill angle. It makes his secondary pitches that much more deceptive. And the two home runs, the fastball up to Ryan, the 2-0 changeup up to Hallman. He's got to pitch down in the zone to be effective here. And there's a little bit of a trend here that, you go back to the game against Boston where he was up early, a couple of home runs. He got down in the zone and pitched eight solid innings. In Cleveland, same thing. We've got to ensure that he's a little bit more in the bottom of the zone right from the get-go to not fall behind like he has.
John, JP struggled at the plate, but he made the big play in the 11th, getting Carp at second base. Can you just talk about how big a play that was in his maturation as a defensive catcher?
Well, it was a heads-up play. It's something that we drill frequently in spring training, and throughout the course of the year we continually talk about it. You get a sure sacrifice bunt situation with a man at second base. That runner's trying to get a good secondary lead to, you know, to beat the throw to third if the play evolves. But a heads-up play throwing in behind, and you know, Mac does his responsibilities of cutting down the throw, and we executed a very good rundown right there.
Yes, they did, and then they wound up winning the game. That's John Farrell getting the speed in there, and that's what paid off at the end as John McDonald with a sac fly to cash Rajay Davis after he singles, steals second and third. Jays win at 6-5 and 14. It is the Honda Post Game on the Blue Jays Radio Network. Welcome back to Rogers Center. The Blue Jays take down the Seattle Mariners 6-5 in 14 innings. John McDonald wins it. The Mariners have now lost 10 in a row. Quick look at the scoreboard. Red Sox losers 6-2 to Baltimore. Tampa beat the Yankees 3-2. Kansas City over the White Sox 4-2. Twins walk it off over the Indians 2-1 on a two-run single by Danny Valencia. Tigers take down Oakland 8-3. Texas leads the Angels 2-0 in the top of the fifth. This series continues tomorrow night. We are on at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. Brandon Morrow against his old team, taking on lefty Jason Vargas. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Rogers, a proud partner of the Toronto Blue Jays. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Dylan Brown, Mark Razmov, and Faizo, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center.